to throw. Has time. Over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or on Twitter. You can reach out and join the conversation at hashtag GiantsChat. Good morning, everybody. Big Blue Kickoff Live is the Giants' very own call and talk show every weekday morning at 9:30 on Giants.com. My name is John Schmelk. I already have a full bank of calls. I will get to you in just 1 second. But first, on the signings the Giants finalized yesterday, obviously we spent much of yesterday's show talking about Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, which obviously was a big addition to the Giants. They add two other players to much smaller contracts, but guys that could be useful to New York this season. And I'm going to start with Trindon Holliday. And we've been asking for years for the Giants to bring in a dynamic return guy that can be a big play, game-changing type of player. Well, Trindon Holliday is that type of guy. He returns kicks. He returns punts. He has returned both for touchdowns over the course of his NFL career. He's just 5'5", and trust me, I interviewed him yesterday. You can check out the interview on Giants.com. He is every bit 5'5". He's not a big guy. But he is quick. He's explosive. He's fast, he's shifty, and he can make a big play every time he touches the ball. Talking to him yesterday, there doesn't seem to be much of a plan as of now to use him on offense. That's something they'll investigate when they get to minicamp and OTAs. Maybe they'll use him in, you know, end-arounds, you know, some trick plays, some gadget stuff, things of that nature. But the Giants also have Joe Jernigan for that. So I honestly don't think there's much of a fit for Trindon Holliday on offense. But if he can be that dynamic special teams player, he can have a role on this team. But there's a big if, and the big if is ball security. Trindon Holliday has been, quite frankly, a fumbling machine. He can't hold on to the football. Despite the fact he might have been the best return man in football last year, the Broncos didn't use him in that role during the playoffs because they did not trust him to hold on to the football. And if you listen or watch my interview with Holliday yesterday, the one thing he had talked to Coach Coughlin about, as he put it, a long conversation about ball security. And he and Coach Coughlin are going to be very close friends talking about ball security. Oh, good old high and tight is going to be something Trindon Holliday will hear all year from Tom Coughlin, or at least all summer and all spring, and maybe longer than that if he manages to make the team. So I like the signing. It's a low risk, high reward. He'll compete with Quinton Demps, who was signed over the weekend as a special teamer and a return man, but I think a good addition by the Giants. We talked about all offseason. I was interested in a guy like Ted Ginn Jr., a guy like Jacoby Jones, because I thought both guys could help not only in the return game, but also help as a wide receiver. Those guys turned out to be too pricey. The Giants wanted to save money for a guy like Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, understandable. So they bring in a guy like Holliday who can be a big special teams player. But that did leave a bit of a hole at wide receiver. So the Giants decide to fill that hole. You know, James Jones is off the market, the former Packer. A lot of other veteran wide receivers signed elsewhere. So the Giants decide to bring back an old face, Mario Manningham. And again, this is a low-risk, high-reward type of scenario. We did have a chance to talk to Mario. You can find that interview on Giants.com. Told me his knee's good. And he hopefully should be good to go this year in OTAs, you know, mini camp, and I think training camp, it really seemed to be his target. He didn't have a real timetable for me, but it seemed to me that he believes by training camp he should be 100%. He'll do probably a little bit individually in OTAs and mini camp. Again, he didn't tell that to me directly. That was just a feel from talking to him, which, you know, sometimes it's tough to get a feel, you know, from a guy like Mario, but you get the idea that he will be healthy this season and ready to go, whenever that happens to be. Now, I think there are some issues. And this is probably why there wasn't a huge market for him in free agency. Number one, he's had a very serious knee injury. He's a guy that always relied on speed and athleticism to achieve his goals, to be a good wide receiver. Well, how much of that did he lose coming back from that knee injury that kept him out a year, that torn ACL? Will he get it back? Some people do, some people don't. You know, he's never been one of those really, you know, tough physical or, you know, a great route runner or a cerebral guy where he's going to use other aspects of his game to get production. So we'll see how much he has left in the tank. I think it's a good low-risk signing by the Giants, but I do still think there's a needed wide receiver, somebody that is probably a little bit more dependable and reliable and not coming off a big injury and, you know, is more of a sure thing in terms of a veteran wide receiver. I still think it leaves open the possibility of drafting a wideout. That's still a possibility in my opinion. I still don't think they'll draft one in round one. I think that's a round two deal for the Giants this year. And I still think you can get a starting caliber wide receiver in round two. Here's why I look at it. Talking to people around the league, this year if Tavon Austin came out last year, top 10 pick, this year he would be an end of first round type of guy. Along with the Cooks guy out of Oregon. So that's how I see it. But the Giants certainly still trying to improve. Their defense is stacked. Their offense still some work to do. Probably not a ton of money left. Again, I'm not going to speculate on how much there is remaining. All I know is that they signed a lot of people. They spent a lot of money. And in order to get Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, they had to clear some money with Matthias Kiwanuka. It wasn't a ton, but it was enough to get the deal done, which tells me that they probably don't have a ton left. They still have the option of extending Eli if they want. I don't think they'll do that. They can also extend Dontrell Roll. I think that's a possibility. If they can come to a mutual contract agreement. And that could free up more cap room if the Giants so desire. But I believe the rest of their moves will be either, you know, wave three, wave two of free agency, really low-cost guys. And I think now we're in wave two of free agency. I think that's where we're at right now. I think the rest of their deals will be at the end of wave two, start of wave three, and then the rest of the improvement will have to come in the draft. And Jerry Reese has done an excellent job filling holes in free agency. But teams build long-term success through the draft, and we'll have a whole month and a half to talk about that. Remember, the draft is a couple weeks later this year, first week of May, not in April. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. You can talk about all that and anything else you want in the New York Football Giants realm, or if you want to talk about the NFL in general, that's cool too. One of the Giants' rivals did make a move, by the way, yesterday. The Cowboys bringing in Henry Melton to replace Jason Hatcher. And considering those two guys were very comparable players, you know, as free agents, they've had very similar production in the past. In fact, Melton's 4 years younger. The fact that Hatcher went for 4 for 27 for Washington, and the Cowboys managed to get Jason Hatcher on a one-year deal with a team option after that for three. And that's when most of the guaranteed money kicks in, if they activate that three-year option. Seems to me the Cowboys got a pretty good deal. But again, Melton coming off an ACL, so there is a risk there as well, which is why the contract was set up the way it was. And Mike Florio reporting Jared Allen. I checked that. It wasn't Mike Florio. It was Mike Garofolo reporting that Jared Allen unlikely to sign with the Dallas Cowboys and as they try to rebuild that defensive line, a defense that was just beyond horrendous last year. Now we're going to go to your phones at 201-939-4513. We're going to Taj down in Virginia first. Taj, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, John? Good morning, man.
Good morning. What's on your mind today?
Well, just a comment real quick and three questions. I know that there's an old saying is that if you fail to plan and you plan to fail, it definitely seems like that the Giants organization has a plan going into this year, and I'm fired up about it because I can see it unfolding. My question is, what's your thoughts about Ebron tight end first round?
Okay. Let's do these one at a time. Ebron first, I think that's a definite option for the Giants. To me, he's a unique athlete at the tight end position that doesn't come out in the draft very often, and I think that's a guy the Giants could certainly look at, and I believe if you get a dynamic tight end like that, it makes some of the holes at the wide receiver position less significant since Eli has another big-time weapon to go not only short to, in the flat to, you know, those little curls over the middle, down the field, seam, skinny post-type stuff. You bring in a guy like Ebron, that's going to really give Eli Manning a legitimate down-the-field weapon.
I agree. I definitely agree. I think that opens up the offense completely.
Agree.
Second question is starting lineup for the defense day one. What do you think it looks like?
Defensive line?
the lineup for the defense start on day one? What do you think it looks like?
I think on the defensive line across the front, you'll have Jason Pierre-Paul at right end. Kiwanuka will slide in for Tuck on the other side. Jenkins and Hankins will be your two tackles. Your linebackers on third down, I think you'll have Jaquan Williams be there, but in your base 4-3 defense, I think you'll have Beeson, McLean, and I think Paysinger. And then in the secondary, you'll have Prince and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie with Onshore Rowe and Will Hill at the safety spot. Walter Thurman will be your nickel. And I think they'll also have a three-safety dime package with one linebacker, Will Hill also in the box with Stevie Brown and Onshore Rowe playing deep with Thurman in the slot.
Okay. That sounds good. I like that lineup. And
very good.
Last question is, who is the one player on offense outside of Eli next year that has to have a Pro Bowl season to help us get into the playoffs?
Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz?
If Victor Cruz does not have a Pro Bowl caliber season next year, the Giants are in a load of trouble offensively, because there is nobody else to me on that offense that has the type of big play ability that Victor Cruz has.
Okay, thanks, John. That's all I had, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. And, you know, I'm going to go with Cruz here because I don't think Randall has to be a Pro Bowler. You know, he can be good. I don't think BD has to be a Pro Bowler. He has to be really good, but not necessarily a Pro Bowler. Now, there are a lot of other guys I can point to also, but to me, if Victor Cruz isn't very good, and there's no reason to believe he's not going to be, I don't see how they're scoring points with these other guys. I just don't see it. Now, if Will BD's awful again, yeah, I don't think anything's going to matter. You're going to be in a load of trouble. Unless you pick a left tackle in the first round, you're able to slide him in there right away. But if Beattie's solid to good and not a Pro Bowler, I think you'll be fine. But if Victor Cruz comes out next year and has a 60-catch, 800-yard season, you're finished. You're finished. You won't score any points. You're just not. It's that simple. 201-939. 4-5-1-3, because you know what that probably means? That nobody else on the offense is a threat. They're double and triple teaming Cruz. He can't overcome that because either it's too hard or he's just not able to do it, and you're just not going to score points. 201-939-4513. Will is down in Atlanta. Will, what's going on, bud?
Hello?
Will, what's up?
John, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. How are you?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. Just sitting back. Watching how everything is starting to unfold and what Jerry Reese is taking care of. I for one, man, never really doubted Jerry. I definitely view Jerry as a businessman, and I knew eventually, he'll definitely get some things together. But I'm definitely concerned about the offensive side of what we're going to do. I think we can take care of that in the draft. But I do have one question for you, though, man, because I heard you mention that with the release of David Bills, that's going to put $5 million back on our cap in June. Am I correct?
After June 1st, the Giants will have another $5 million of cap space, but a good portion of that, I'd probably say 60%, give or take, will have to be used to sign the Giants draft pick. So there won't be a ton left over. Maybe a couple million, something like that.
Okay, I got you. All right, because what I was going to ask you then is come June, with that money that was going to be left over, do you think, and I know it's kind of too early to tell, but if there would be anybody that's still out there, that we could sign with that additional money that'll make a difference with the Giants team?
Yeah, I mean, last year a bunch of guys got signed after June 1st. In fact, Darryl Smith and Carlos Dansby might have actually been post-June 1st signings. I don't know how to think about it. Both those guys lasted in free agency a very long time, and both of them got big long-term deals this year. So there could be guys that are out there after June 1st that, didn't find a good fit, during the first few months of free agency, and they're waiting around to wait for something that really works for them. So, yeah, I think even with just that $2 million that they have left, or $2.5 million, whatever it ends up being, or if they carry even more money over from their, free agency period, before June 1st, I think there will be players that can help that will still be available at that point of the year.
Perfect. Because, that's one of my concerns, John, is whatever we don't get done during the draft, that we can still go ahead and add on to the roster. So, that gives Jerry two opportunities through the draft and after that June 1st cut, so we can solidify the roster.
I'm with you, Will.
All right, John. I appreciate you taking my call, man. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you. Well, you called me, and I appreciate it. I haven't talked to Will down in Atlanta in quite a while. It's a good caller. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go back to our phone and say what's up to Bash in Ohio. Bash, what's going on, pal?
What's going on with you, John? How's everything?
Everything's great, Bash. How about yourself?
Everything's good with me. I wanted to call and comment upon Mario Manahan coming back to the Giants, welcome back and everything. I love the deal that Jerry did with Manahan coming back. I think if he go back to the caliber he was in 2011, and we had a three-headed monster again that we had with Cruz, Nix, and Manahan with Randall replacing Nix, we can go back to that thing with 2011 we had that Super Bowl year. What do you thoughts about actually Manahan coming back with a cheap one-year deal and him coming back to how he played in 2011 and having that three-headed monster with him, Randall, and Cruz?
Well, quite frankly, I think Manningham is going to have to compete with Jernigan for that third wide receiver spot. And, you know, you've listened to me all winter. I'm not sold on Jernigan as a player, but frankly, I'm not sold on Manningham either. We got to see how he comes back off of this ACL injury. He's a guy that's always a light on
his OTA and a good training camp.
Right.
If he comes out with a good OTA and a good training camp and see that he's back, he has the speed,
athleticism.
Back and everything like that, he might be a steal for his one-year deal that he has.
Look, I don't think Manningham's going to show up here and be a Pro Bowl caliber player, but I think he can certainly be effective and be a, you know, if he's healthy, he can be a 40 to 50 catch, you know, type of guy and provide some speed and, you know, down the field explosiveness that can complement both Randall and Cruz. Though I do think in general, wide receiver Bash, it is a worry. Other than Victor Cruz, Reuben Randall has always been inconsistent. Manningham, even when he was here, has been inconsistent. And Jarrell Jernigan certainly hasn't been consistent his first few years. So once you get past Victor Cruz, there are still a ton of question marks and a lot of issues with your wide receivers on this roster.
Well, then I also wanted to ask about the inquiry. You think the Giants will acquire about DeSean Jackson down in Philly for maybe a third or fourth rounder? You think we'll acquire about him? I want to ask that them being still young, has to speed, can do punt returns and everything. Like, you think we're acquire about him? And also I wanted to ask about these one-year contracts that teams sign with one-year contracts with free agents. How do they work with aspects of training camp in a 53-man roster? How does the one-year contract work if they get cut during a 53-man roster? How does the one-year contract players work?
Well, I mean, they get signed to a one-year contract. Once the contract's up next year, they become unrestricted. If you cut the player,
get cut before the regular season, it's 53 well, during training camp. How does that work?
It depends how the contract is structured. Some of these one-year contracts are all guaranteed money. Other people have roster bonuses. You'll get extra money if you make the roster. And if you don't make the roster, the team won't owe you anything more than what they had to pay over the summer to be a training camp. So, you know, most of these one-year contracts are low-risk contracts, so there's not a ton of guaranteed money. So if the Giants were to, you know, say, you know, let's say Mario Manningham can't run and his knee's still screwed up, the Giants could cut him, you know, after the training camp period and not owe him any significant money. So that's part of the beauty of the one-year contract is that it's not guaranteed and there are pretty easy outs usually to get out of it if you want to.
Right. And what do you think about the DeSean Jackson? Giants acquiring DeSean Jackson.
And I got a couple people asking
you think
about the
option.
Yeah, I got a couple people asking about DeSean Jackson on Twitter as well, and I've talked to them yesterday a little bit. Let me say this about DeSean Jackson. Number one, there is no way in hell that the Eagles trade DeSean Jackson to the New York Football Giants, a team in their division. That's number one. Number two, if you bring on DeSean Jackson, you also bring on his mammoth salary. Did the Giants have the salary cap space to fit DeSean Jackson into their cap situation? Absolutely not. So that is not something that's going to happen, Bash.
Okay. Appreciate it.
All right, Bash. Thanks for the call.
Good day, John.
Hey, you too. Have a good one, man. 201-939-4513. Yeah, so DeSean Jackson to the Giants, folks, is not happening. It's not happening. I don't get why the Eagles want to trade him. I mean, it's not like Jeremy Maclin is some sure thing coming off an ACL injury. Why would you want to take away one of Nick Foles' weapons? I don't get it. Maybe he was clashing with Chip Kelly a little bit last year and, you know, something that was kind of kept under everybody's hats. I don't know. It's very strange. 201-939-4513. Al is in New Jersey. Al, good morning. How you been?
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Al. What's up?
I just wanted to know two questions. What do we do
right now with this tight end situation? Is there anybody, like, in free agency we can get right now?
I'll tell you what, there isn't much left in free agency. You got a guy like Ed Dixon, who's more of a number two. There isn't anybody in free agency, I'll put it this way, that I would trust to start 16 games and be very productive, spare perhaps an Owen Daniels. But with his age, I'm not sure how much the Giants would be interested in him. I think right now, your starting tight end will not be on the roster. Let me say that again. Your starting tight end next year is not on the roster right now, and I believe whomever the Giants start next year will be someone that they draft. I think they'll draft a tight end in the first or second round, and that'll be the Giants starter next year.
All right. Thanks. And for the next question, what do you think they do for the draft? Do you think they draft a tight end, or do you think they might go with a defensive tackle or something like that? I
don't think you're getting a defensive lineman in the first round. One, there aren't any defensive ends that I think are worth picking at 12 once Jadeveon Clowney's off the board. Anthony Barr is more of a 3-4 outside linebacker. He could be a situational pass rusher, but again, I wouldn't use the 12th pick on the draft on him. And the Giants, frankly, don't pick defensive tackles that high. I don't think Tim Jernigan is enough of a disruptive player. To me, he's more of a one technique than a three technique, and they already have Jonathan Hankins. So why would you draft him? Aaron Donald, I suppose, is a possibility there. But I just don't think the Giants value defensive tackle enough to pick somebody in the first round. If they were going to use a first-round pick on a defensive tackle, I think they would have just brought back Linval Joseph, to be quite honest with you. I think they see defensive tackle as a position that they can get later on in the draft in the second or third round. So I think the Giants will take a defensive lineman on one of the first 2 days, but I believe day two is much, much more likely. And I would be surprised at this point. Again, we'll see if they make any more moves. If the Giants do not take a tight end in one of the first two rounds, I would be surprised.
All right, thanks a lot, John.
Hey, appreciate the call, Al. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. A couple people are going nuts about Kelvin Benjamin. People have the Ramsey's Barden syndrome with Kelvin Benjamin. Can't teach height! Look, I'm not saying he's a bad player. Certainly not. But let's relax a little bit. We want to draft a guy just because he's tall. He had a bad 40 time at the combine. He chose not to run at his pro day. He weighed in overweight at his pro day. And he's still projected as a late first-round pick at best, possibly sliding into the start of the second round. You're not drafting Kelvin Benjamin at 12. The only wide receiver I consider at 12, if he's there, and I'm assuming Sammy Watkins is not going to be there, is Mike Evans, who has not only the size, but also the speed, 4-5 speed that he showed at the combine, all right? So that's what I would say. I've gotten a couple, tweets about the Florida State guy on Twitter, and I just want to try to relax people a little bit. If I hear the next Plaxico Burress one more time, my head's going to explode. 201-939-4513. Shakes is in Baltimore. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, man?
Uh-oh, you sound tired today, Shakes. You had a late night, man? What's up?
Nah. I was on speaker.
Okay, what's up?
I had to cut it off. But, yeah, man, I agree with you on that Benjamin and Evans comparison. Like, I know a lot of people is like, oh, no, go Benjamin in second and third round. Go Ebron. And I'm leaning more to the Evans side. I know you leaning more to the Ebron side, but I'm kind of hoping that Evans beat it. So, hey,
Shakes, you know, that's the thing. I mean, if you get to round two and Benjamin's sitting there, do you consider him there? Sure, but I would not consider taking him in round one.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that, but I really actually would want Evans more than I would like Benjamin. The guy from Florida State, the center, Brian Stark.
Yeah, what about him?
I kind of like that kid.
Well,
I kind of like that kid.
I don't think he's not projected to go to the middle rounds, third or fourth rounds. The Giants.
That's what I'm saying.
So I think the Giants would be able to wait on him if they decide they want to take a center.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, like handle that tight end, wide receiver, first two rounds, and then hope that Stork is there in the third or fourth. Woo! Yes, that's That's exactly what I want. Split splash. But I wanted to say one thing, you know, before I get off. It's a lot of fans that feel like me, you know, that really wanted a change and really wanted Jerry to be aggressive. And it's a couple or a few that disagree with us and actually call us idiots for that matter. And this is what I'm gonna respond to them is, we're not idiots for wanting better. We're not idiots for wanting better. We have been average 9-7, 10-16. Okay? We are not idiots for wanting better. We're not idiots for wanting records like San Francisco and Seattle. We want to dominate just like them. So don't call us idiots. In fact, to me, my friend, you're the idiot. And I'm not speaking about you, John. I'm speaking about a certain few on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
In closing, you have a good day. Salute, John.
Thank you, Shakes. I appreciate it. And look, and I'm going to start negotiating truces in Twitter wars now, and I'll try to keep this brief. But let me say this. Look. I get that Giant fans want better. That's why when some people call up and, you know, they ask about, you know, what some people will consider to be, you know, relatively ridiculous things, you know, you kind of let it go and you're, all right, fine, that's fine, not a problem. And, you know, you listen, you explain to them why you think they're wrong, and you kind of move on from there. But look, it's not a matter of people being, you know, stupid or being an idiot. I mean, that's not the deal here. There are different ways to go about your business. But I think, generally speaking, the history of the NFL and the way teams are built dictate that free agency can plug some holes, it can stop some gaps, it can prevent some leaks, but where you're going to win long-term is in the draft. So a lot of times, it's hard to make those splash moves because you can only bring in, you know, one really big-time player in free agency every couple of years. It just gets too expensive with the salary cap. It's impossible to do. You get these guys in-house and build them into great players via the NFL draft. You don't do it via free agency. I mean, look at all the best players on all the best teams around the NFL. How'd they get there? They got there via the draft. I mean, there are very few players that are the franchise players for their teams that were not drafted. Do you know why? Once a team gets a franchise player, they hold on to them. They don't let them walk away. They're there. They don't leave. That's how you get the backbone of your franchise, by drafting them and developing them. You don't pay them in free agency. There's a reason there's a franchise tag, so teams don't lose their franchise players. That's why they called it what they did. That's why it's the draft that is the key to building a consistent winner. It's not free agency. The NFL is set up that way. That's how the rules are set up. That's how the salary cap works. You got to draft well. And right now, look at the cornerstones of this Giants franchise. First of all, there aren't that many of them anymore because a lot of the guys have gotten old. But of the guys that are here, not enough of them were guys the Giants drafted and developed. And they got to do a better job of that moving forward. John Mara said it after the season. Jerry Reese said it after the season. That's how you build in the league. And, you know, Len has said it a bunch of times when he's called in, that you not only need these new players to do well, you need the guys that have been here and you've tried to develop to get better too. You need Adrian Robinson to give you something. He doesn't have to be a star, but he has to give you something. JPP needs to bounce back. Prince Amukamara needs to take that next step into being a very good cornerback. Jaquan Williams needs to take a step forward to become a better linebacker. You need Jonathan Hankins to play well at tackle. You need Will B to rebound from that knee injury. You need Justin Pugh to continue to improve as an offensive lineman. These are guys in-house that you develop. You need Reuben Randall to develop into a number two wide receiver. You need Jernigan to be a big play guy and someone that can play in the slot. You need these guys to do it because you're not going to build your team in free agency. It's impossible to do. You got to do it through the draft. 201-939-4513. 4513. Back to the phones. Let's go to Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, what's going on, pal?
Yeah, this is you'll love this combination at wide receiver, Plexico Burris, and trade and bring back Ramsey Barton.
Only guys 6'3 or higher need apply. That'll solve all the Giants' problems.
And Aaron Ross, is he gone? Or he was let go?
Aaron Ross is a free agent right now. He's still on the market.
Okay. I always liked him, but they definitely have good corners now. But hopefully he could be a backup slot corner. And also, Shakes was happy. My dad's happy with all the signings, so that's a good sign. Even though Shakes was wrong about Aaron Curry, he's usually right. And Len from Maryland, he's probably happy, so it's definitely good news. And another person that's happy is your partner, Lance Meadow, and the special teams. Is it Tom Quinn?
Yes, he is. Yeah, and I'm sure Tom Quinn's quite happy he's got a dynamic return guy to return kicks for him.
And Lance is happy because there's a football player on the Giants that's actually smaller than him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, it's, Andrew, you were talking about that yesterday. You know, I was out one day last week, and Lance had to do the Jeff Schwartz and Rashad Jennings interviews, and we joked yesterday that we should have had brought him back to do the Trindon Holiday interview. They could have sat in the same chair together right next to each other and talked to each other. I thought it would have been very funny.
I guess he's a great signing. He's like a Pac-Man Jones type without the problem off the field. And it can't be really understated how important the returns are. When Bill Parcells was in between coaching gigs, he did an interview on The Fan, and he talked about the Giants at the time. Probably, you know, this is like more than 10 years ago. And he said about the special teams that was one of the big weaknesses. They're always at a disadvantage with their field position. Then Francesa and Dog, you know, Parcells hung up, and they were like, oh, the Giants have bigger fish to fry. But you can't understate, like, special teams, field position all games, starting field position in close games. You could get a field goal to clinch it at the end. You know, it's very important. Or you could get a good return, and even if you have to punt, you pin them back and they don't get a field goal. So my wife, we watched the 07 Super Bowl on the NFL Network, and she never saw that whole game. And right away she saw the touchdown, like, so it was actually the game that they lost, the final game against the Patriots. But I think Dominique Hickson, I think it was, returned a kick, and she was like, oh, they need someone like that now. So they really haven't had a good return guy. So hopefully he'll stay healthy, and that's going to make a big difference. And I wanted to ask you the final question. So you're high on this tight end that you keep talking about, and that would be a great pick. But also, do you think, or would you recommend that they trade up a few spots if there's a really good defensive end that's still on the board, say at pick number 7 or 8? I would love to see them get a premier defensive end. Thanks.
All right, appreciate the call, man. Always good to hear from Andrew. I think now I'm not sure if the Giants are going to bring in a premier defensive end. I think Jason Pierre-Paul is their premier defensive end that they need to play like a premier defensive end. A couple things from Twitter. A couple people asking about Mike Patterson and Sean Rogers yesterday and today. I think Mike Patterson would still be a smart guy to bring back as a rotational defensive tackle. I think he did a good job last year. As for Sean Rogers, remember, folks, he went on IR with a chronic knee issue. So he's a big boy, and he's old. I'm not sure how much he has left in the tank, if anything. He might just announce his retirement, to be honest with you. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say hello. And by the way, I do think it would be wise to bring in a veteran tight end in free agency that could be kind of like a backup stop gap type of guy. I also do know, however, that Larry Donnell, a guy on the roster the coaches believe can be that type of blocker. So I think he's a sleeper in this whole story that I think could play a big role for the Giants next year as a blocker. He played last year with two bad elbows. He played through a lot of injuries, and the coaches like him. And he did do a good job blocking last year. So he could be that type of, you know, veteran, you know, stopgap that could be their blocking tight end, quote unquote. Back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Tim's all the way in Minneapolis. Tim, I was watching the news the other day. Did you guys get another 6 or 7 inches of snow up there?
Yeah, it just fell on my head last night. I was out in that crowd.
That sucks, man. I'm sorry.
Just when you thought it was warming up too, it was like, oh, springtime's right around the corner. I'm gonna start to say, psych.
I know, man. Dude, you know what? It's finally going to be like 50 degrees here for 3 or 4 straight days this weekend. So we're all pretty excited about it, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
What I wanted to do was I wanted to touch on what everybody's been saying about Ebron. I think we should get Eli that dynamic tight end who's a matchup nightmare over the middle, because, you know, it'll automatically free up your wide receiver. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody keeps saying, oh, well, Victor Cruz, he's not a number one receiver. Well, guess what? Your number one receiver is the receiver who you throw to the most.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. You're right.
You know, and that is Victor Cruz. So we have a number one receiver. What we're trying to do is find out a way to uncover him from the doubles and the triples and whatnot. So I love what Jerry has done so far. If we can get some mileage out of the center that he picked up, and I think we'll be all right. I know, you know, he's got injury issues or whatever and haven't played anything, played a lot in the last couple of years, but if he's healthy and we can get some mileage out of him, that'll be a big boost to our running game, and we'll open up everything else. I wanted to know, what do you think about the Giants possibly, like, when they get that David Boss money, going out and getting Antonio Cromartie?
Honestly, you know, I don't think they need to add any more cornerbacks. Tim, I think they're setting the defensive backfield. I mean, right now, their top three guys are Prince, Dominique Rodgers, Cromartie, and Thurman. Tremaine McBride is their fourth guy. Then you have a third-round pick in Jaron Hosley, who's your fifth guy. And then Charles James from last year is number six. I don't think you need to bring any more corners. I think maybe you'll add somebody either late in the draft, maybe a couple undrafted free agents to compete in the spring and summer. But I don't think you're seeing any more additions, especially significant ones in that defensive backfield.
I knew you were going to say that, but I asked it anyway. You know what I'm saying?
You I always, got you.
You know, just like you poo-pooed my Dominique Rodgers Cromartie last week. I was like, what do you think about Dominique Rodgers Cromartie? You're like, nah, we're not going to be able to afford him.
Hey, Tim, and you know what? The funny thing is, the morning the Giants made the signing, I said the same exact thing. It was one situation where I was quite pleased to be wrong.
Yep. Yeah, but that's pretty much all I got to say, man. I like the philosophy that I think Jerry's going with. I think he's like, okay, well, you can build your defense through free agents, and then you've got your franchise quarterback in Eli. So what you really want to do is put pieces around him that he can grow old with. And I think that's what we should do. I think that like our first 3 or 4 rounds in the draft should be the tight end, and then we should shore up the offensive line, because of course we got some free agents that'll probably be good stopgaps, but if we're looking towards the future, then we need to draft some guys that can replace them, you know what I'm saying? And then you know what I'm saying, just keep build on defense through free agency and build on offense through the draft. So and why is everybody online that I've been hearing, have they forgotten about the monster more? I mean, just like a year ago, he was the monster.
Well, in fairness, Tim, exactly. And if you listen to the show last year, what did I try to do all offseason last year? I tried to temper expectations on DeMontre Moore, because I knew everybody was getting way too excited about him. There was a reason he dropped to the third round. He didn't have an NFL body. Now, I can tell you, for the last week, I've seen DeMontre Moore in this building every day working out. He's trying to get better. He's trying to get stronger. I think that is a great sign, and if he continues to do that, continues to improve physically, and continues to get more serious about the game from a mental perspective, I think DeMontre Moore has a pretty good chance to be a contributing player this year. Do I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler? No, not yet. But I think he can be an effective 20 to 30 a snap a game type of guy.
Yep. And I think, and I was listening yesterday, I didn't get a chance to call in because, you know, but everybody, you guys are having this conversation about right now the team's at 8-8, or right now you believe the team's at 9-7 or whatever, right? We went 0-6 last year. You know, we went 0-6 to start off the season. We went 7-3 in the last 10 games. You know, I think that right now with these additions on our team, we're a 10-6 team right now. And if we pick up some dynamic playmakers, get Eli another good receiver, get him another tight end, get him some offensive line, some youth on the offensive line just in case Snead breaks down, because that's what I'm really looking at. I'm like, okay, I think Snead's going to break down again later on this year, so we need to have a replacement for him. But if we can get back to that toughness that we need on the offensive line. I mean, like, somebody called in yesterday and said we don't have any finishers on the offensive line, and I think that's true. I don't know if you know about this. I don't know if you know about this guy from UCLA, but I've been watching some tape on him as far as a guard that maybe we could pick up in the later rounds. Xavier Suofilo.
He's projected to be a second-round pick. I don't think you can get him much past there, to be quite honest with you, but I think he could be a starting interior lineman if you decide to go that direction in round two.
Yeah, so I would love to see us. That Ebron's going to be on the board when we pick in the first round. I would love to see us take Ebron first, and then I guarantee you that UCLA guard, he'll probably still be sitting around, and his tape is just nasty. He's just pancaking D tackles all day, and I don't believe that we have a dynamic running back. I mean, Rashard Jennings is cool. I'm seriously hoping that David Wilson can get healthy and hold on to the ball.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, Jennings will be solid. He'll do a good job, but you're right. He's not that big play, you know, game-changing type of guy that David Wilson could be.
Yeah, he's like that 3-4 yards in a cloud of dust type dude who will keep chains moving. But if we get off a schedule, I don't see him being the type of guy who's going to make that big play, like on a 3rd-and-9 when we go conservative with the draw play and – you know what I mean? Oh, by accident, he's got the first down. I don't think we're going to get that out of him unless we get a big, nasty guard sitting right next to our first-round pick tackle from last year, and we just pound him on that side. You know what I'm saying? But
I hear you, Tim.
I'm about to get back to work, and I'll take it off the air.
Thanks for the call. I'm going to take one more call, folks. I'm going to be joined by Rob Vacchiano from the Daily News. We're getting up on the line right now. Just want to touch base on him and the Giants' current salary cap situation and go over a couple of the moves. So I'm going to take one more call. Derek and Nick, I'm going to leave you guys on hold. You can either hang up and call back, or I can get to you right after Ralph. It's up to you. Whatever you guys want to do is fine. But let's go to Montrell down in Miami first. Montrell, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, John?
What's up, Montrell? How are you?
Good. I had a quick question. I don't think we talk about D linemen enough. I mean, I know we lost Justin Tuck and Neville Joseph, but what about this pass rush? We still need a pass rush. I mean, are we satisfied with Matthias Kiumanuka and Demontre Moore? I mean, is there anyone else we need to pick up, you think, or what we should do? Because even though with the good DBs that we do have, you still need a pass rush. Those guys can't be chasing people around all day. So you still need that pass rush. What do you think?
Nah, Montrell, I think that's fair. I think right now pass rush is an issue for the Giants. I think Jerry Reese hopes that Jason Pierre-Paul can provide a lot of that if he comes back and he's healthy. They hope Demontre Moore can develop to the point where he can give him something in that regard. I think they hope Cullen Jenkins continues to bring some pressure inside. But I would not be shocked, and I've said this before, a lot of people are talking about tackle. I would not be shocked if I saw the Giants bring in a defensive end. Scott Crichton, a guy from Oregon State, I know is a good pass rusher at the end spot in the second round to try to reinforce that defensive line a little bit.
Oh, okay, that's great. And another thing I want to say, with the offensive line, Chris Snead, do you think it's a good chance that he start the whole season? He played the whole season?
I honestly think there's a chance. I'm not sure I would call it a good chance. He's coming off two major surgeries. I don't think the Giants trust him to play an entire season. I think they'll have a backup plan in place. but I think they'll give him the opportunity to win the job and show he can do it. I think that's the best way you approach this, Montrell.
Okay. And also, the Kevin Benjamin. I don't think we need Kevin Benjamin. I think Eric Ebron from North Carolina would be perfect. Actually, people paid attention. I think Eric Ebron ran a faster 40 than this guy. He's a receiver, right?
You know what? It's a good point.
This guy can play tight end and receiver. So I think Eric Ebron is at least 90% the first-round pick. 12th pick there, Eric Ebron is the guy.
All right, appreciate the call, Montrell.
Thank you.
All right, 201-939-4513. We'll get back to your calls in just a second. But very quickly, want to pick up Ralph Vacchiani from the New York Daily News. Want to touch on a couple of specific things with Ralph. If we went through all the Giants signings, we'd be here for an hour and a half considering all the moves Jerry has made. And I guess, Ralph, that'll be my first question. Thanks for joining us. I mean, we've never seen the Giants open up the wallet like this like they have in free agency this year. It's been pretty unbelievable.
It has. You know, they've spent before. I know a lot of people like to say, well, they're cheap. They don't like free agency. But, you know, we saw them go big for Antoine Roll a few years ago. They had the year where they spent on Boley and Canty. But, you know, this is unprecedented as far as I can remember. It's over $100 million in contracts. You know, I know obviously these guys aren't getting all of that money, but, you know, that's the size of it. You know, they're not hitting you with a huge name, a major, major contract. Probably Rogers Cromartie was the biggest one, but they're filling a lot of holes at reasonable prices, not killing their cap number in future years, and getting a lot of people excited.
You know, the funny thing about it, the guy they might have theoretically overpaid the most is the guy they brought back from last year, and that's John Beeson, who I know a lot of people think maybe got a little bit more than they expected. But I think considering the effect he had on the team last year and the lack of other impact middle linebackers in free agency, I don't think the Giants had much of a choice but to bring him back.
No, I agree. And, you know, that deal, 3 years, $19 million, you know, it gets a lot of money up front, but you know, they certainly, it's another deal that doesn't kill them in future years, and there's ways out of it if they need to get out of it. So, you know, it wasn't terrible, but he was the leader of the defense. And, you know, you lose a guy like Justin Tuck, you need the leadership, as much leadership as you can, to stay around. And, you know, the players believed in him, and he may not be, you know, maybe just talent-wise, maybe he's not worth all that money anymore. Maybe he's, you know, not the impact guy in terms of making big flashy plays, but in terms of settling the defense down, getting guys in the right position, making the calls, and all the little things that you want a linebacker to do, he was invaluable.
You know, Ralph, you really get the feeling that a proverbial fire has been lit under Jerry Reese a little bit. Not that there wasn't a sense of urgency before, but I think the tenor of John Mara's postseason press conference, you know, here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, I think it really, you know, sent a message. And Jerry Reese has certainly taken that message, and he's trying to get this team better right away. And I think it also helps that this team and everyone else in the NFL knows the NFL salary cap's going to jump each of the next 2 years. So I think it gives the Giants a lot more freedom to do the type of things that they've done this offseason.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, having the cap go up in future years is definitely a help because, you, for example, you could add a deal like Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, whose cap number this year is small, but it gets enormous in future years. You couldn't have done that if you were, you know, for example, he couldn't have done that last year, not knowing whether the cap was going to jump this year or not. He could not have set up a contract that way. So it does change things a little bit. And, you know, I go back and forth. I'm not sure whether he was sort of scared by John Mara's season-ending press conference or whether, you know, I get the feeling John definitely sort of laid down the law a little bit in that we're going to do things a little differently around here. You know, they had to get, you know, they had to stop giving deals to their own guys, you know, out of loyalty and whatever else, and, you know, sticking with the plan, as it were, and they started getting younger and healthier. I mean, almost, except for Josh Brown, I think every signing is a guy under 30.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, most of them in the prime of their NFL careers. You know, you had to rebuild in certain areas, and they're hard decisions. You know, nobody wanted to see Justin Tuck go, but, you know, the reality of Justin Tuck is that he was over 30 and had injury issues, and you can't give money to a guy like that. So, you know, they had to kind of start over a little bit, and, you know, that's clearly what they've done.
All right, let's look ahead a little bit, Ralph. I know a lot of these contract details are not official. I've been looking for them. I can't find them either. But by your estimates, is there any amount of significant cap space the Giants have left, setting aside the $5 million they'll get off of David Boss's deal after June 1st. How much more maneuverability, in your eyes, from your investigations, do you think they have right now?
Well, almost none. You know, there's always a little bit. You can tweak some contracts here or there and squeeze out a little bit of room. But, you know, right now, the NFL Players Association had a list that had them with about $3.5 million in cap room left. And I actually think that might have been before they got a look at the Dominique Rogers-Cromartie deal, where the cap hit on that is supposedly around $2.5 million or so. So, you know, they're down to the bottom. So what I think you're looking at is, you know, Mario Manningham type deals, Quinton Demps type deals. Both of those guys came here at 1 year minimum salary deals. They could probably fit in some of those, but if they were going to sign somebody else, you know, big name, a top free agent, they would really have to start looking at a couple of things that I don't think they're planning on doing, which is renegotiate deals. And really, the only two that are left that they can renegotiate, well, I guess they could might be able to do something with Will Beatty's, but you're talking about Antral Roll, who, from everything I've heard, doesn't want to renegotiate his deal, and you know maybe the Giants don't want to extend him either, or Eli Manning, which is sounds like they prefer to do that next year rather than this year. So at the moment, they don't have much, but they can create some room if they were willing to do it.
And you mentioned a roll a guy on the wrong side of 30. That might be a guy the Giants might not want to extend just simply because of his age. You mentioned they're trying to get younger. You mentioned Tuck walking away, Linval Joseph walks away. Just want to touch on a couple of the holes still on this team. The scary thing, there are still a number of holes, despite the fact they've added so many people, primarily on the defense side of the ball. How much of a need do you think this team now has on the defensive line, Ralph, either at defensive end or at defensive tackle?
You know, I don't think there's a need at either. I think there are questions. And this is the real interesting part of their offseason to me, because in the past they might have overpaid for guys to keep them or tried to fill those holes through free agency. But I keep going back to one of the things that I heard John Mara say, we all heard him say, at the press conference at the end of the season, which was, you know, it was when he went off on how, you know, why did it take us so long to find out if Terrell Jernigan can play. One of his themes was, we draft these kids, we got to get them on the field. So we may say, wow, Linval Joseph and Justin Tuck leave holes, but I think from the Giants' perspective, they're looking at Jonathan Hankins as a second-round pick. Demontre Moore is a third-round pick. They have to play. You know, maybe they're not going to be good. We'll find out. In that case, you've got to overhaul your drafting as well. But you drafted them high. They've got to get on the field. They get on the field. Second and third-rounders play all over the league. So I think if you're losing a 30-year-old free agent and plugging in with a third-round pick with a lot of promise, you're probably doing okay if you've really drafted right, if your system is good.
Moving to the offensive side of the ball, Ralph, are the Giants committed to J.D. Walton being their starting center next year? It would appear from everything that we've seen that looks like it's the case, doesn't it?
Well, sure, based on what they've done. I mean, there's not really another center on the roster. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they brought back Jim Cordle for a low price at some point. You know, I think that, you know, we thought Kevin Booth was coming back, but that didn't happen. So, you know, my guess is because of his health and uncertainty, he hasn't played since 2012, you will see them either sign a center. You know, Brian De La Puente, who I heard they liked from the Saints, is still out there, and I'm assuming his price is dropping like crazy. Maybe you'll see them draft somebody if they don't sign someone. But, you know, maybe I think it looks like at this point that he's the guy. I just find it hard to believe he'll be the only guy when camp opens.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if they can get De La Puente at a bargain basement price, that would be an absolute steal if they could figure out a way to do that. How about tight end, Ralph? I mean, right now you're looking at Larry Donnell, you're looking at Adrian Robinson, and pretty much nothing else. I mean, is this all but guaranteeing that the Giants are going to use a day one or day two pick on a tight end here?
You know, I would think so at this point. I really haven't looked too much into the draft to know, you know, what they're going to be able to get at number 12, but I don't see any other choice. I mean, there's not much left on the market. I guess you could take a chance on Finley or, you know, somebody like that. You know, Finley, obviously, is probably the best that's out there if he's healthy.
Owen Daniels, another guy.
Yeah, you know, not a lot of impressive guys. But, I mean, you know, they could probably get somebody at some point, a veteran, for a year and, you know, $1 million and squeeze him under the cap. But if you're looking for somebody to excite you, and, you know, let's face it, if Ben McAdoo is going to run the offense that we saw in Green Bay, they're going to need a tight end. I mean, Finley was a big part of that. You know, they used him a lot as a receiver. You're going to need somebody good. It makes sense at this point to go and draft a playmaking tight end at number 12. probably makes more sense to do it in the first round than the second round, because you can find linemen and other fill other holes in the second round and beyond. But the true explosive difference-making tight end, if one's sitting there at 12, at this point, I don't see how they would pass.
Ralph, how comfortable are the Giants with Reuben Randall, Jarrell Jernigan, and Mario Manningham competing for their second, third, and fourth wide receiver spots?
I think fairly comfortable. I think the second spot is Reuben Randall. I don't think there's any question about that. They like him. You know, I understand Jerry Reese said that, you know, the jury's still out on whether he's a number one receiver or not, but I think that was a little, you know, light a fire under a kid who's had work ethic issues in the past. I think talent-wise, they believe he can be, you know, he can fill in for Hakeem Nicks, and that, you know, he cruises the number one receiver, but in that sort of number one outside receiver role. The interesting battle to me is going to be the third receiver job. You know, Jarrell Jernigan they like, but he is 5'9", and that, you know, maybe smaller than that. That gives some limitations. Mario Manningham, if he's healthy, certainly could be a steal at his price, but he hasn't played in a couple of years. His knee was pretty bad, so, you know, receivers don't often come back fully from that. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if they draft somebody there too. You know, I could see them in the third round drafting, you know, a taller receiver, something they really don't have, and making it a real interesting battle for that third spot going into camp.
Ralph, final question. Are you partially surprised when we're joined by Ralph Acciano of the Daily News that, considering all the moves the Giants made, they've improved a lot in free agency, filled a lot of holes, that most of the moves have been on defense and not on offense, considering how last year went?
I am a little bit. You know, I think that it's a really good sign, you know, that they didn't get complacent. I mean, the defense finished ranked, what, eighth at the end of the year?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was good, but it was kind of one of those that they just couldn't hold it together long early in the year. The pass rush didn't come on until late. They could have gotten complacent and said, look, this group we got really turned it on. But they, to their credit, looked at it and said, we must get better. You know, I think they've sort of made a statement that we're tired of seeing quarterbacks beat our pass rush by throwing the ball out in you know, 2 or 3 seconds. We're going to make sure they can't do that because we're going to upgrade our secondary the way and go basically the Seattle plan. They had the, you know, and really the Jets in the past, too. They built from the secondary and then up instead of the other way around.
Right.
I was surprised to see that. And I didn't think, honestly, I thought that their top priority was going to be 2 offensive linemen and a tight end and a running back, obviously. I thought they would spend more on offense. But they believe they've built that offensive lineup, and that if you can build the lineup and protect Eli Manning, that alone might change the offense, along with the offensive coordinator. So, yeah, it's been surprising. It kind of makes sense now that you think about it, but I definitely thought they were going to go the other way.
Ralph, we appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you later on in the offseason. Thanks a lot, and I think that you might have a little chance to have a little break here. I know you've been trying to take some breaks, but another sign that keeps popping up, you might have a day or two here to relax a little bit. We'll see.
I tell you what, it's the best time of the year for a sports writer covering the NFL when the team runs out of cap room. So we're all very happy.
All right. Thanks, Ralph. I appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon.
Hey, John. Take care.
Ralph Acciano from the Daily News does a fantastic job. I think he gave you some good information there. And really, I think on the same page with a lot of the same stuff we've talked about here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. 201-939-4513. We'll take your calls the rest of the way. Derek was holding that entire time down in Atlanta. Derek, thanks for holding on. What do you got for me?
Hey, John. I called in because I know that Jerry Reese listens to your podcast.
Oh, yeah. He is locked in, and that's how he makes all his decisions. It's all schmelk.
So I called in to make a request to bring in a receiver to take a, you know, I looked at the, I know you don't really like him, but Lance Moore, I think he had one of the similar kind of careers that Hakeem Nicks had, and he got injured last year, and Kenny Stills kind of came on, and he lost some of his targets. But I think prior to that, he was ascending.
Yeah, but Derek, in fairness, Lance Moore has never had anything close to the amount of success that Nicks has had at the NFL level. I mean, Lance Moore, you know, hasn't even dreamed about having the type of year Nicks had in 2011.
He had over 1,000 yards receiving.
Did he?
The year before.
I don't think Lance Moore ever got to 1,000 yards. I'll look up his numbers right now. I didn't think he ever got that high, but I'll look at it.
Yeah, I think he, you know, I think when I looked at the comparison, you know, averaging games, you know, Hakeem Nicks averaged about 14 games a year over the last 4 years. Lance Moore averaged 14.5.
You know, Lance Moore had 1 year, you're right, in 2012. He just got to 1,000 yards. He had 65 catches, 1,000 yards. But his other years in the league, this is his yardage total. So first of all, he's also 31 years old in August. So he's older than Nix for one. And this is his yards and catches over the course of his career. His rookie year, 1 for 10, 32 for 302, 79 for 900, 14 for 153, 66 for 763, 52 for 627. Then he had his 1,000-yard year, and last year, 37 for 457. So I'd still say, look, he's been solid. He's had some decent seasons, but he still has never been the type of player Nix was at his best.
I don't disagree with that. I think that Nix is a better player, but I'm thinking that you bring him in, you let him compete with the other receivers, and you see who shakes out out of those players. 1 year deal like you're giving Mario Manningham, more competition, I think is a deal for the Giants. And if it was injuries that caused him to take a sharp turn down last year, then I think he to bring him in as a 1 year contract, it'll be a good thing, to test him out. Also, I know we're not going to agree on that one, but when you say and going to the draft, when you say not at pick 12, what I want to know from you is that what do you consider reaching?
I consider reaching selecting someone. At a position where there are still other players on the board with a significantly higher grade than him. That's what I consider reaching.
But not considering if it was like a quarterback. Or let's say Teddy Bridgewater falls and he's there at 12. Well, his grade are probably higher than some of the other players on the board, but obviously we're not going to take Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, look, yes. So, if it's a position like quarterback, yes. But generally speaking, I'm willing to draft somebody at – and look, I think the Giants could draft four or five different positions at number 12. And they have a need at four or five, even six different spots. So if there's a player with a significantly better grade than somebody else at one of those positions, you should take that player.
Even if it's a lineman or a linebacker that you already got?
Well, I don't think the Giants have any – besides John Beeson, I don't think they have another linebacker that's a difference maker. I don't think they have a difference maker on the defensive line that's not named Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, I wouldn't – here, look at it this way. The only positions I wouldn't take under any circumstances in the first round is corner, safety, quarterback. Those are the only three positions I would rule out based on need. Now, I don't think any running backs have a high enough grade to be picked there. I don't think any interior offensive linemen have a high enough grade to be picked there. But pretty much every other position I would have on my board at number 12.
Okay, because I know that teams put, they grade their own players, and looking at some of the mock drafts and everything, like how did that person get all the way up to 12, in their opinions, and I was just wondering, I know you said a couple of times you wouldn't take him at number 12, but if he was at number 18, would you take him? And if the Giants took a player that they thought that would fit their system, fit their scheme, and was a player for them, and he was ranked at number 18, would you take him at 12?
No, I wouldn't, because
if you can't trade back?
If you have him ranked as the 18th best player on your board, why are you taking him ahead of the five or six best players that you had ranked ahead of him on your chart?
Well, I don't think we've done that great draft over, and I think maybe sometimes taking need with best player combination is better than it's just taking best player.
No, but I hear you. But I think when you build your board, though, Derek, you take that into consideration. So you wouldn't rate a player higher than another if you're not willing to take him. For example, if I'm the Giants and I'm creating my draft board at number 12, I would almost take the three quarterbacks off the board. I wouldn't even put them in my top 18 because I know I'm not going to select them there. Now, I might know where I have them ranked, but I wouldn't consider them real options. And I don't think you're going to get to the point where if the Giants have this theoretical player ranked as their 18th best player, you're going to have six players ahead of him that other teams haven't drafted that the Giants don't need. The Giants aren't so good here where they can pick and choose where they have a need. They can't pass up a guy that they think could be a great player at a position for another player that maybe is just good at that at a different position because there's a slightly better need. I don't think the Giants are in the position where they can make a decision like that.
Okay. Well, I know every year I watch the draft, and every year somebody comes up with a card and says, why are they picking that guy there? But anyway, I think, you know, if Anthony Barr is available at 12, I mean, I don't know if we run up to the scores bar and put our card in for him. I mean, he's not a typical player that the Giants would pick. He doesn't fit our system. He plays in the more of a 3-4 system.
Right.
You know, that's, you know.
That's why Anthony Barr wouldn't be that high on the Giants' particular board. Derek, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks
right,
for
bye.
Calling, bud. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phone and say what's up to Charles down in North Carolina. Charles, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, John? The last caller kind of stole at the last minute, man. Kind of stole what I was going to say.
Yeah, what do you got? It's all right.
I think it's three players that maybe four that you got to draft if they're available at 12. I don't think Ebron's going to be the pick. I think he's more of a 17, 18 pick, 19 pick type guy. There are two other tight ends that's pretty athletic. That should be around in the second round.
Yeah, but who are you talking about? Jason Marr and Austin Seferian Williams. Those two guys.
Exactly.
But
those
I don't think either. But
I was talking about.
Neither of those two guys have. Here's my issue with those two guys. From what I understand, from what I've read, neither of those two guys have any interest in being blockers.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Again, we gotta realize that we're not talking about Gale Bryce's system here.
Right.
We're talking about the West Coast, so we don't even know if now you always want a blocking tight end, but at the same time, I don't think JaMychal Finley was the best blocker on the planet.
But here's the thing. First of all, but you know, Charles, I hear, but we also don't know what McAdoo's system is gonna be. I guarantee you, it's not gonna be a West Coast offense. It's gonna be a combination of what he wants and what Tom Coughlin wants. And trust me, Tom Coughlin's not going to want to play a tight end on running downs that does not block. It's not going to happen. I promise you that.
Well, I think we've got two tight ends on this roster, man, that deserve opportunity, especially Donnell. When he did get in the game last year, he did a pretty good job, man. He caught some balls. We know he can block. Robinson is still, he still has a lot of potential. I like to see those guys get a little opportunity. I don't want to draft Ebron at 12. I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I think if Taylor Lewin is available, that's just a franchise left tackle that you just can't pass up, man. I know we got Beatty there. I just don't know if Beatty is a franchise left tackle. I mean, if Taylor Lewin's there, then you got to go with him.
Charles, here's the problem. Here's the problem, Charles. The Giants paid Will Beatty like he's a franchise left tackle.
Well, I mean, you can kick like you know, we've been talking about since Booth left. Now it's not such a bad idea to maybe kick Beatty to the right, push in Pugh, and you got Schwartz. Chris Snee is probably going to have to play, maybe a backup role. We don't know how his health is going to be coming to the season. So it's not necessarily a bad thing if you get Taylor Lewin, if he's there. Anthony Barr is another one, man. I know we just said, the guy just said he's a 3-4. He's projected as a 3-4 guy, but he can definitely put his hands in the dirt. That guy's a unique individual, and I think if he's there, you gotta really consider Anthony Barr before you look at an Ebron. And my last guy would be Aaron Donald. Here's another guy that's such a unique individual on that D line. I think if he's there, you gotta seriously consider taking an Aaron Donald before you take an Ebron.
Charles, based on the Giants' history, I find it hard to believe that they would select the defensive tackle with the 12th overall pick in the draft. I just don't see it happening, especially when they already have Colin Jenkins under contract, who I know is on the wrong side of 30, but is still a very good player, and they use a second-round pick in Jonathan Hankins last year. I don't think they'll use a first-round pick on a defensive tackle. I think Aaron Donald's going to be a great, excellent pro. I think he's a good player, and he's going to be a good pro. I just don't see the Giants going there at 12, and I would take Eric Ebron over Anthony Barr in a second. You bring in a tight end that can be a guy you can slide in right away to be a player, while Anthony Barr, you have to train to be a 4-3 D end or a 4-3 Sam linebacker when he played 3-4 in college. I don't want to deal with a headache trying to convert a player that you're picking at number 12 in the draft. I want no part of that. I want a guy that's going to be able to come in, play the position he played in college, and use him right away. I'm not interested in grabbing a guy that's going to be a quasi-project.
Here's my problem with the D-line right now. I'm not sold on Kiwi. He's had his last 2 years have been terrible. If we think we're going to go in to this season with Kiwi as our starting left end, right end, or whatever, we're in trouble at that position.
But Charles, I don't think there's a defensive end that's good enough to pick in the first round, though. That's the problem.
We got Ely out there. We got Ely out there.
Ely's not enough value at 12. You can get a better player than Ely at number 12. You can.
And that's why I say, honestly, I think Anthony Barr is going to be around, and I'm like the last caller. I'm with him because I honestly think of Anthony Barr's there. The guy's so unique. Like, look, JPP was raw when we got him, and I think we got him in the top 15. JPP wasn't ready to be a starting DN, but we took him because he's so unique. I think with Anthony Barr, is going to be the same thing. If that guy's around, I would love to have him on his team because he's so unique. And you can, like you said, you just said it, we can train him to be, I think he can play that position with no problem. I think he would transition well in that position. He's already about 260. He's about to put on a few more pounds and get a little stronger. But, at this point, I don't want Ebron at 12. I like the tight ends we got, and I think we could get an athletic tight end in the second round. And, hey, I just wanted to shake things up, man. Everybody,
all right, Charles.
Ebron.
Nah, good call, man. I appreciate it.
I want to shake it up.
Nah,
all right,
it's all
you.
Good, baby. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Charles. Charles always brings some good stuff to the table. I appreciate it. And, look, I get where you're coming from. Anthony and Phoenix is on Twitter just continuing to type Lawan, and I understand bringing a guy like that, too. And it's hard to pass up a guy that you think is going to be a franchise left tackle in the first round. And again, I said this last week, and I'll say it again. I would not be upset or angry or confused if the Giants decide to take a starting franchise left tackle type in the first round. I get that. And it'd be a good pick. I'd be fine with it. But, and again, I'll continue to do more research here. I'm not making my commitment yet. I'm not writing it in stone. It's still on chalk. It's on my white dry erase board. I can still change my mind. But I think Ebron's unique. I think he's a unique talent that comes around once every couple of years. And in my opinion, you know, he's a guy that I think could help the Giants right away. I really do. And he fills what I think is probably the biggest hole on the roster at the same time. Biggest hole. There is no bigger hole in this roster right now than tight end. None. You can count on, you know, two hands and feet how many NFL snaps Larry Donnell and Adrian Robinson have had. Or maybe a little more than that with Donnell, but still, you get my point. And I'm not debating Anthony Barr's talent and his skill and his ability. I'm not. He's a great athlete. He's a bit of a physical freak. Not debating any of that. But at number 12, I have no interest in converting a 3-4 linebacker into a 4-3 Sam or 4-3 outside linebacker. And as Shane Kinlon just said on Twitter, makes a good point. You've done so much with defense in free agency. Don't you have to take an offensive player with your first-round pick now? You've put so many other resources into the defense. Don't you have to improve the offense in the draft? I think that's a really good point. I think your first-round picks, a tackle, a tight end, or a wide receiver. I think that's what you're looking at, folks. I really do. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Nick in New York. He was on hold before Ralph, and he's called back. Nick, what's going on? Thanks for getting back to me. What's up?
Thank you. Finally. A couple points I want to make, and then I want to talk the draft a little bit.
Yeah, sure. What do you got for me?
Kudos to Beeson for being his own agent and getting overpaid a little bit. That's pretty good, right?
I'm sorry. Say that again?
kudos to Beeson for being his own agent and getting overpaid a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Beeson did a very good job representing himself, no doubt about it, Nick.
Yeah. And to the D-backs, I think I was talking to my friend, and we were debating if we didn't get Rogers Cromartie, would we have got Thurmond? And I think we would have, just because the last couple of years we've gotten torched in the offseason.
Yeah, Nick, I think so too. And even though they're both corners, to me, Thurmond and Dominique Rogers Cromartie almost play different positions. You know, Dominique Rogers Cromartie has had issues and problems when he's been asked to play in the slot in years prior. So I don't think that's something you want to ask him to do. While Thurmond, on the other hand, was one of the better slot corners in football last year. So I think they almost play different spots. I think Thurmond is the replacement for Terrell Thomas, while Dominique Rogers Cromartie is the replacement for Corey Webster, if you know where I'm coming from on that.
Yeah, I agree. And, okay, to the draft.
Yep.
I'm with you on Ebron. I think, I don't know if Cruz is our number one, but he's more like a 1.5 than a true one, I think, just because he's not a prototypical one, I mean.
Well, look, honestly, here's how I look at Cruz, Nick. Nick, he's not Calvin Johnson. He's not A.J. Green. You know, he's not Dez Bryant. You're right. If you only want to count those top three, four, or five guys as ones, that's fine. But I think Cruz is, you know, in the same neighborhood as Demaryius Thomas. I think he's in the same neighborhood as Pierre Garçon. I think, you know, he's in the same neighborhood as those other guys. So if you want to call that a 1.5, fine, I'll live with that.
Yeah, well, no, just to my point that he's a slot, more of a slot than an outside guy. So I think Ebron is the play there. And I also think D-end is a thing we have to address. If Lawan and Ebron aren't there, I think we trade back and get D-Ford maybe or somebody, because I'm worried about the D-ends a little bit, because, I mean, a back is nothing to play with, you know, we're not sure about that. And DeMontre Moore is, he's coming off his rookie season, yeah, but he was more of a stand-up D-end in college.
Right.
And it's hard to make that transition.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah.
No, Nick, I'm with you. And here's how I look at it. The Giants mm-hmm. would consider trading down if Taylor Lewan, Mike Evans, and Eric Ebron all were off the board at 12. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. If that does happen, I think they will seriously investigate trading down. That's my feel for it. I haven't talked to anybody. That's just the way I would approach it if I was the one making the decision.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Nick, thanks for calling back, man. I appreciate it. We got three more calls on the line. We'll take you three, and then we're going to say goodbye for the morning. Let's go to Stas all the way out in Washington, D.C. Stas, what's going on, bud?
Hey, what's up, man? Just three quick things. I won't be too long, I promise.
Yeah.
So, first thing, this thing on Twitter going on and people hoping DeSean Jackson comes to the Giants. In my opinion, even if the Eagles would trade DeSean Jackson to the Giants and they volunteered to pay 75% of his salary, I still wouldn't want that type of attitude on the Giants. Like, let's not forget, that's the same guy who quit on his team in the middle of the season because he wasn't getting paid the way he wanted to get paid. It's not the guy you want to bring into the Giants locker room.
I think that's fair.
That's just he's a freak. He's an athlete. He's awesome. I take nothing away from him. I hate going up against him every year. But I don't want it. That's just my opinion.
Okay, what
second
else you got?
Second thing, it's going to feel so good to not have to worry about somebody's two or three wide receivers. Because, like, last year, Prince did his thing. The number one wide receivers on most teams did not have big games on them. It was their twos and their threes that would kill us because you didn't have the depth. But to know that you got, like, ZRC and Prince and Walter Thurmond, and you can say, hey, you take that guy, and you got that guy, and that just makes you feel good going into the season.
Well, no, Stas, you're 100% correct, and I think that will, in turn, help the pass rush and make it less of an issue. Since you can cover longer, you give your guys more time to get to the quarterback, and it gives Perry Fuel more freedom to blitz. So I think that will mitigate some of the pass rush issues a lot of people are worried about.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last call that hit on it, DeMontre Moore was a stand-up end in college. you can definitely put in a 3-4 scheme, not totally 4 scheme, but run a 3-4 set on, let's say, a passing situation that you want to rush, and have Delonte Moore as that standing up pass rusher. And that's something he can do well already. I mean, there's ways to manufacture pass rush. The only way to do it, though, is when you have coverage. And before, the reason why the Giants weren't doing it is because we didn't have the coverage, and we were rush your front four. Like, there's going to be, I mean, you can have a QB spy now, because you don't have to put extra people in coverage, which is going to help us. And we play against people like RG3, we play against Seahawks again this year, that's going to help. Like,
no, I agree.
I don't think people are really looking at it.
I think it's a great point.
Whole picture.
Great point.
So anyway, that's all I have. And on the draft, real quick, if it's not Ebron, then unless you have a bell cow left tackle, it's got to be Ebron. Unless Sammy Watkins falls down that far, but he's not. I mean, trust me, I go to church every day and light a candle hoping he falls to 12, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I appreciate the call, Stas. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Have a good day.
Good stuff. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Basement. Also, by the way, guys, something to keep an eye on. Jason Marr already had his pro day, and he did a lot better in his numbers than he did at the combine out of Texas Tech, the tight end. But, again, he's a guy that, from what I understand, just doesn't want to block. So I'd be careful about him. The rest of the tight ends that you're talking about really haven't had their pro days yet. Notre Dame's pro day is coming up tomorrow. Troy Niklas will have his workouts then. Something to keep an eye on. C.J. Fedorowicz, the big tight end of Iowa, who's probably going to be a late second or early third-round pick, goes next Monday. Eric Ebron from North Carolina goes next Tuesday. And then Austin Seferian Jenkins goes on Wednesday, April 2nd. So those are three of the top four tight ends. Their pro days will be within the next week. So something to keep an eye on if you're a Giants fan. See how these guys do. And I'm just telling you, we'll see how Ebron does it as pro day. Remember, he had a little tweak, I think, at his hamstring at the combine. If he does well, I could see him shooting back up draft lists again. And I don't think he's much of a reach at 12. I really don't. But, again, we got a long time to the draft here, folks. Almost two full months. So a lot of time to go and figure this stuff out. Final two calls before we say goodbye. Let's go to Frank in Tampa. He's been holding the longest. Frank, what's going on?
Good morning, John. Great to talk with you.
Thanks for calling, Frank.
A couple of questions, a couple of observations, if I could.
Yeah, real quick, Frank.
On the Ebron situation, you said earlier we'd be in trouble if Cruz had 60 catches, but, we wouldn't be if 60 others went to Ebron. I mean, I've watched, now that it's getting closer, I've watched some tape on this guy. His catch radius is great. He's not, all that tall, but you watch him catch the ball. He's got a really unique burst after he catches the ball for a guy that size who isn't remarkably fast, but he's got a burst like a Harvin or that Watkins kid that you just don't see. So, I mean, we're not going to see any more curl patterns by, T-Rex Myers. And the catches he could make he could catch over the middle, he just turns it on after he catches the ball. He runs away from guys. He runs over guys. And so, I could see 60 catches for him, 60 for Cruz, 60 for Randall, something like that, and we'd be okay. I'd like, maybe go back and take a look at some tape of this guy, Giant fans, because he's got a remarkable talent that I haven't really seen a lot of.
No, Frank, I agree, and that's my point to me. He's a unique skill set guy that doesn't come along very often. And it would be very tough for me to pass on him considering. And, the Giants are rarely in this situation where they can get a freak athlete like this because usually their record's too good. They don't pick this high in the first round. And I would just hate to pass on a guy like this when you have an opportunity to get him.
Yep. And I just a couple other observations and a question or two. The kick return, I love the fact that we've got these two fellas, but neither one of them appears able to contribute whatsoever on offense or defense. And can we afford to, when Holiday only does punts, can we afford to use two roster spots for two guys that can't play a lick either way?
Trindon Holiday does kicks and punts. But, yeah, I agree. If Trindon Holiday's on this team, he's primarily and solely a special teams guy. I think you can have a guy like that in the roster, to be honest with you. Only because look, you're not going to have Demps and Holiday on this roster. You're going to have one or the other.
Oh, okay.
I would be very surprised if both guys are on the roster next year, but I think you can survive carrying one of them as being a primary kick and punt return guy without doing much else.
Okay, can you answer this for me too, John? The free agency, do you at every moment have to be under the cap?
Yes.
Or can you have to continually every signing justify that to the NFL?
Correct.
That you're at that moment
every,
under the cap?
Every time you file your paperwork, when you sign somebody, you must prove that signing keeps you underneath the salary cap. That is correct.
And can the free agents work out, or can they submit a recent workout tape if you're concerned for injuries like with Manningham or Walton?
Yeah, sure.
They can?
Yes.
And they can do a live workout? Because I've never seen that happen. I only see a physical exam.
Well, when players come, you know what? That's a good question. I'm not sure what, by league rule, they're allowed to put these guys through. But as far as I understand it, as long as the free agent's willing to do it, I believe teams can have some of the guys, especially with injury concerns, run around for them. I don't think that's a problem. I don't think there are any rules against that, to be honest with you.
Okay, because I've never seen it. And then lastly, if kind of strange now, two things. If Gilbert's there, do we take him?
No. We no. do not.
Okay. But also, strangely, with our signings, this is really kind of interesting to me, is that our needs now don't seem to match up with what's left all that well, because if you look, other than Ebron, there's no first-round value at tight end. There's none at defensive end. There's none at running back. There's none really at wide receiver, and no centers. And those are the things really that before, we needed, but we didn't really fill those, and I don't think there's anybody really to fill them, strangely, in the draft.
Well, Frank, thanks for the call. I appreciate it always, my friend. And what I would say is this, is that I think there could be a wide receiver there at 12 that would be worth picking. What if Mike Evans drops? That's not out of the realm of possibilities. I think it's unlikely, but I think it could happen. Terrell Lewan is a top-notch offensive lineman. That'll push Pugh inside. Is it ideal? No, but it works. Ebron, it works. I mean, all those things make sense, and you can always trade down, too. Maybe you want to trade down, pick a Zach Martin. Trade down 5-6 spots. That's okay, too. I'd be fine with that. Trade down, pick an Ely in the first round. That's cool. Remember, you don't have to. It's not just a matter of lining up need in round one. You can still get a starting center or guard in round two or three if you want. You can even get a starting tight end, I think, in round two in this draft, if you want to go that route. Which is why, and folks, that's why I'm not saying it's, Eric Ebron or nobody in round one. Because if you don't get Ebron in round one, I think you can get a starting caliber tight end either in the second round, or even if you want to pick the Fedorowicz guy out of Iowa in round three, I think you can survive that too. I'm good with that. I still think right now I'm leaning towards Ebron, but I believe that you can still find a tight end later. It's not like it's a disaster if you don't get him. That's why I love the situation the Giants are in. They have options. 201-939-4513. Our final call of the show is Mark down in Philadelphia. Mark, thanks for calling in, man. What do you got for me today?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing well.
That's good. I'm sitting here listening to some of the callers, and I have to agree with you 100%. A guy like Eric Ebron comes around once at a blue moon. In my opinion, the guy kills three birds with one stone. He's an inline blocker. He's a threat at tight end because he's too fast for linebackers and too big for the D-backs, and you can line him up split wide as a wide receiver. So he causes mismatches. I'm down here in Philadelphia, and I look at the Eagles. The Eagles, they don't have a true number one receiver. DeSean Jackson is a number two at best, and most of these guys, the Rylan Coopers, they're number two and number threes, but they were able to be effective because it was about mismatches. And if you can get people to take pressure off of Victor Cruz and open it up, get, like you said a little while ago, 50 catches here with this guy and 50 catches with this guy. If Victor Cruz doesn't have a monster season, it doesn't kill us because the ball is being spread around and the offense is being opened up.
And Mark, Mark, I just want to add to your point to Philadelphia because I think it's a good one. They have two excellent tight ends that can make plays in the middle of the field. And Brent Celek and Zach Ertz, who, by the way, I think is going to be an even better player than Brent Celek is. So you're right. The tight end can open up things for everybody else, including your top wide receivers, whether it's DeSean Jackson in Philly or Victor Cruz here.
Right. I mean, if you look at, for instance, I heard somebody talk about Lance Bourne a little while ago. Marcus Colston, his first couple of seasons, he was a threat. But Jimmy Graham, once he came on the scene, he really opened that offense up. You look at Vernon Davis out in San Fran. Michael Crabtree is good, and Quan Bolden is a little older too, but he opened that offense up for them. And if you look at Rob Gronkowski, and when Aaron Hernandez wasn't getting in trouble when he was there, he opened up that offense. So I think a tight end, if you look at the draft after Eric Ebron, I'm not going to say it's a real big drop-off, but it is a drop-off after this guy. He fills a need, and he's a threat that I think would instantly give Eli a target across the middle. He'll cause mismatches all over the place, and I think it'll be an awesome pick, man. And that's pretty much all I have. I'll let you finish the show, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Mark, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it. And look, I agree a lot with what Mark's saying. I really do. I think he makes a lot of good points, and that's in a lot of ways the way I see it as well. Everybody, great job on the phones. Great job on Twitter, as always. Tomorrow, Dan Salamone will be joining us, making his Big Blue Kickoff debut on Giants.com, one of our writers here on the website. And we welcome him into the Big Blue Kickoff family. Hope he doesn't screw it up too much. That'll be fun. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, 9:30, Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. We will see you then. Enjoy your day.